Welcome to Business Beyond Borders, the go-to podcast for CPA firms seeking transformative insights. I'm your host, Lawrence Whittam, and with each episode, we'll uncover key insights, best practices, and invaluable resources tailored for CPAs. From trending strategies to diving deep into outsourcing and offshoring, our experts will help in all areas of your business.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Business Beyond Borders. So I have an exciting episode, one of the first initial episodes, actually, when about covering technology in the industry. And the reason for covering a bit of AI and technology and working with some of these providers is that, again, when we look at the staffing side of things in the industry, we need to make sure that we are not just looking at the people and the process perspective, but also really heavily looking into technology and the automation of everything that's coming about, right? Because we're moving very quickly in the industry. And again, it's something that I want to be able to make sure that firms are understanding who are the players in the market, how much time you can really save by leveraging some of these pieces of technology, right? And how it can even be implemented in the firm. So today I have Matt Harp here with Basis. So, hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Now, can you give everyone a bit of a background about just yourself and of Basis? Because I know that you guys are reasonably new to the profession. So in terms of you've seen the profession, you've been in it in some capacity, but now from a technology perspective, you're quite a new software and you're really custom developing it for the profession. So if you could share a little bit, that'd be very helpful.
Yeah, so I'm happy to share, and I'd say have probably quite a different background than most of the accountants and accounting firms that we work with. My background is in machine learning and statistics, was at the Boston Consulting Group, mostly working with healthcare enterprises on those types of topics, and have always been interested in this idea of teaching computers to help humans with a variety of tasks. And have been particularly excited as sort of the abilities of some of these machine learning models have really taken off in the last couple of years. I was fortunate to co-found Basis just over a year ago with Mitchell Troinovsky, who brings the accounting side of things. So Mitch has a background in accounting, was actually at Goldman Sachs building risk infrastructure for institutional clients, and then most recently was at an exciting new ledger startup called Puzzle as their first product hire. And Mitch was helping them as they endeavored to sort of build an alternative to QuickBooks for SaaS businesses and internet native businesses. So that's the background on me and on Mitch. Basis as a company, we're based here in New York. We're sort of a team of engineers, machine learning researchers, and importantly, accountants. And we're really focused on helping accounting firms to figure out how they can leverage some of the most cutting edge machine learning techniques, what a lot of folks will call Gen AI, even though we don't necessarily refer to it that way, in automating workflows. So that's the quick summary and excited to get further into it.
So who are you typically working with when it comes to the firms? Is there a specific division? Is there a specific type of service that you're focusing on within these firms that you're working with? And also the size of the company, like that is a good fit for Basis, and that even if it's because it's not released yet, real like from a larger product scale side of things, right? You're working with a specific number of firms right now of varying sizes, but what is that future? Like, what are you looking for stage one of this is who we want to help right now, and then hopefully be able to scale around with different sizes and work with different size firms? Well, can you give us a bit of a background of that aspect?
Yeah, so we currently are focused largely on the CAS practice. Or some firms call it their outsourced accounting practice. And we've started there just because, we had heard from a number of firms that they were turning down work, that, there was a challenge hiring folks. Obviously, there's a shortage of accountants, domestically in the industry, and felt like there was a really clear opportunity to help those firms automate a number of workflows. And the way we think about Basis is it's a technology platform. It's not focused on solving any individual workflow, but rather providing accountants with the tools to take on and automate a whole range of different workflows. That said, one of the big questions that we always talk about with firms is, which ones do you start with? Where are the biggest opportunities to make a difference? And we pick CAS because we think there are a number of workflows where there are very clear opportunities. In terms of the availability and who we've worked with, as you mentioned, Basis is not yet available in a self-serve capacity where, a firm, maybe a smaller firm or mid-sized firm can go online, sign up for an account and get to work. That's something we hope to be able to offer shortly down the road. But to date, we've been focused primarily on working with large firms, all based obviously in the U.S. Generally, I'd say, top 50, top 100 firms and specifically with their CAS practices. And I'd say most of those firms, are folks who are, I think, interested in being on the cutting edge technologically speaking, who've sort of had the light bulb go off that, wow, this technology in particular, I'm talking about machine learning and AI broadly speaking, but in particular in the last, in the ways it's advanced in the last 2 years, could potentially change the industry in a number of ways, and we're excited to put it to work as quickly as possible.
So, how much time are you saving for accountants now, right, when they're implementing this, and also, what do you see as the future of leveraging Basis, right, within these firms? Like how much time realistically can they save in their CAS department? And is it certain areas in their CAS department as well, like a certain piece of the workflow which is most suitable for this initially, where you can say, like, this is where we're having the most success of, again, saving time?
Yeah, so
I'll start with the forward looking
and then I'll share some more immediate specifics. One of the phrases that we use is you can sort of think about Basis as a team of AI assistants. So you're almost giving every accountant on your team their own team of AI assistants that they can leverage in a variety of tasks. And the reason we frame it that way is because, I think as I mentioned earlier, we have this sort of technological idea of building this unified intelligence that can be applied across a number of different workflows. So Basis knows your clients, it understands context about them. And then whatever it is that you spend your time on during the day, Basis is going to be there to help you eliminate as much of the manual repetitive work as possible. And so, if that's sort of the future of where we think Basis will go, it means that, you'll have a Basis instance working across all of your practices on a variety of different workflows, and hopefully will be something that can be useful to really every single person in the firm. Now, in terms of where we've started, as I mentioned, we've largely focused on the CAS practice, and I think in the CAS practice there are some really clear opportunities where Basis can make a difference. We haven't yet shared any numbers publicly, but we have put together a couple case studies that we're happy to share offline. And in terms of the results, I would say these are 5-10% differences. It's really 2-3x efficiency gains in a number of core workflows, because really all of the work that folks are spending time doing now in Excel, pulling data from different places, compiling reports, et cetera, a lot of that, can now be automated, and I think probably couldn't previously. And so they're really, pretty substantial opportunities there. And I think all that said, we're still only in the very early days of, starting to help automate these workflows. There's, probably years of work left to be done to sort of see out the full potential of what could be automated here.
So where do you sit on the actual, like, tech stack slash system side of things? Is Basis sitting on a platform that is essentially running in the background? You're collecting data for, let's say, and again, I'm just using random numbers, for a week, right, of the cast process. So you're sat on the systems of all the team members that are running. Now your team goes in and actually looks at the data and says, like, okay, this is showing that this is a repetitive task across all your team members. Or is it more of a software that now, and an instance that everybody has to work in, right? How does it fit into the firm physically from that perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's often one that comes up pretty early in conversations. You know, firms have a question. Okay, do I need to scrap my existing software?
Yeah.
Now, is there a huge change that's required in order to start, you know, seeing a benefit? And the answer to that is yes and no. You know, very clearly no from a software perspective. We sit alongside existing softwares that accounting firms use and their clients may use. So, you know, whatever ledger systems that their client may be on, bill pay systems, financial institutions that their clients may use, month-end close software, whatever it may be that the client is using, Basis sits alongside and plugs into, so that it's a seamless onboarding for firms and Basis can get to work right away on automating workflows. So I think there's minimal disruption from a software standpoint. And part of the reason why we built Basis in that way is we think about Basis less as another piece of software or another widget or another tool, and more as sort of an end-to-end solution for automating a workflow. You know, almost think about it again in that team of assistance mindsets. It's a team of assistance mindset. It's not one specific tool that solves one specific problem, but rather, you know, a pretty powerful platform that can engage in a whole range of different tasks and has a level of intelligence that just was not possible to build into software only a couple of years ago. So that's in terms of, you know, what's disruption like from a software perspective. And the answer is it's very minimal, and we've built Basis so that it can sit alongside what already exists. I think the place where there is more disruption to be had, or more discussion to be had at least, is around process. And I'm sure, you know, from an outsourcing perspective, this is something, you know, you and your listeners will be very familiar with, which is that you need to be somewhat process oriented in how you go about rolling out a platform like Basis, or in how you go about, you know, potentially changing or standardizing any kind of workflow that you want to improve. And so, you know, we spend a bunch of time with firms talking about what processes exist. Normally, folks have a good sense of where the most painful parts of those processes are. What are the most manual things? You know, what are the things where if you just had a magic wand and you didn't have to deal with them anymore, or, you know, they'd be 90% complete and then you could finish the last 10%, what are the things that people would put on that list? And I think it's always interesting to see, too, what are the sort of the leaders of the practice or the leaders of the firm say in terms of, you know, what those processes are, and what are the junior folks or you know, some of the managers or staff accountants say. And often it's interesting to see what that difference is. But those types of things pretty quickly come to the fore, and it becomes obvious what the metric will be or what the target will be in terms of what Basis needs to do to deliver on you know, what the sort of hopes that the firm has for automating those processes. And so then we have a conversation around, okay, let's set up a plan so that we have a standardized approach to using Basis, so that, you know, folks across the firm know how it's going to be used. And I'm happy to get into it, but we have sort of an approach to going about onboarding, because that process part of things is probably the most important part in terms of seeing the results, and is the part that does require a commitment and a buy-in from the firm and from the folks at the firm in order for Basis to be successful and to be useful.
Yeah, and I think that'd be interesting to know from that onboard. I was going to ask regarding the onboarding. It, from what it sounds like, from my opinion, is it's more of a commitment that the firm needs to make, because you're dealing with people as well, right? You're dealing with this team of AI experts from that perspective. You need to really understand where the pitfalls are in the current process and where the pain points are, so that you can focus on those first, show that A, you can do it, but also like, okay, here's the immediate impact of where you can get to, right? Let's now go from the top down in terms of this is going to be the biggest impact in the firm based on what you're telling us. But now how involved do they have to be? What does that initial onboarding and process look like? But also how long does realistically expectation wise, how long should they be expecting to look at, let's say, a process? Because again, processes differ, right? It could take a small amount of time to do something. It could take a lot of time and a lot of testing to do something else. However, can you give somewhat of a framework as to what they should expect during that engagement with Basis?
It differs by firm, I would say, and in terms of the preferences they have for how to move things out. But I think generally what we like to do is find a group of users within the firm who are going to be what we call the power users. And those are sort of the folks who are going to sort of start testing Basis on the set of really important workflows and then can be a resource to other folks in the firm when we start rolling out Basis on a broader basis. And so we spend probably a month or so just having discussions with senior leadership, having discussions with the folks who sit around the workflows that are most important, and setting up a plan. And I think, you know, our team is pretty good at working both with, you know, oftentimes the management committee or the leadership committee around some of the longer term goals, and then also working on a more day-to-day basis with the folks who sort of see out these workflows to make sure that we have a plan in place. So say about a month for that. Then we generally do about a month of testing. And again, because Basis sits alongside existing systems, it's relatively quick to get up to speed and get things operational. But we do about a month of testing to sort of prove out what the results we want to see across the set of workflows that we've sort of set as the must-haves or the highest priority items. And then once we've done that with that set of power users, you know, we set up a plan to scale things out across the firm so that we can start seeing the benefits of Basis at scale. And, you know, generally that process takes another, you know, two months or so to get things up and running. But as I mentioned, again, we're focused right now on the CAS practice and on a certain set of workflows. And I think the larger project of deploying Basis, you know, to its full potential is something that will probably take, you know, years to play out. We're still in the early innings of, because there's so much opportunity here. I think to make a difference, and you know, we're focused on driving results immediately. But I think there will be many, many years of iteration and development across other workflows that we don't currently touch. And so, you know, if we're being honest about the full span of the deployment, it's probably something that, you know, is a collaboration for a longer period of time.
Okay. And then, and again, AI, and I know that you're working with larger firms, typically like mid to larger firms right now. But the word AI, and just in general, like when we come to technology and things like that, it can be somewhat overwhelming from an understanding perspective, especially when, again, in the profession, mm-hmm. we have deadlines coming up like all over the place, like from insurance is different than the tax deadlines. And then we've got the end of year deadlines, right? We've got the extension seasons and things like that. Now, how much do accountants and the teams that you're working with really need to fully understand what's going on behind the doors of your AI assistants, essentially, right? Compared to, do they really need to understand it fully? Like, do they need to get heavily, heavily invested and involved in this? Or is it something that, again, you guys are, once you've got a plan in place, once you've actually talk to them about what the process is that they're working on daily, right now it's you guys doing a lot of the work in the background to then show the solution to them, right? Or do you really need like consistent, again, you need to educate them a bit on the AI side, right? Or do you need to, like, what's that look like?
So I would say the way I like to think about bringing on Basis and how accountants should think about that relationship almost, is that it's like hiring a new employee. When you hire someone new, it takes a period of time just to understand the way that they work, you know, what you should expect from them. You get an opportunity to give Basis feedback on, you know, what you'd like it to improve or how you'd like it to do things differently. And maybe in that first, you know, month or two, you might check some of their work, double check things to make sure that they look right. You might, you know, you might be getting a sense of what it means when they say, I'm totally sure about this, or I'm, you know, 50-50 on this. Can you please double check my work? And so you're sort of building up a rapport where you have a sense of what it means to work with someone else. And I think it's the same thing with Basis. Part of that first, you know, month really is getting used to understanding what Basis does, how it can help, and then how you can provide feedback for it to improve. And I think people picked it up pretty quickly because it's relatively intuitive. It's like working with someone else, but there is a bit of a period in trying to understand, you know, how exactly it works. So I'd say a lot of that comes down to intuition. And, you know, one I think relatively intuitive idea that I always like to share with folks is this idea of what changed in the last couple years, or what, you know, if we'd be more specific, what changed in the last 24 months or so. And I think to some extent, it's this idea of instilling common sense in a machine learning model. If you think about why it's been so difficult to automate so many workflows, certainly in accounting, but also in other industries, it's because you look at a certain workflow and you say, hey, this could probably be done in Excel, or, you know, why couldn't a computer learn this if it had a lot of data? And oftentimes the difficulty is maybe, you know, for many cases, it is automatable, but there are enough scenarios where there's some idiosyncrasy or there's some nuance to the workflow. And you just need a level of intelligence to understand what that actually means and how that requires you to change the workflow or adjust the workflow slightly. And so I think that's why systems that are largely based on, you know, deterministic rules, like if this happens, then we'll do this, or some kind of crude pattern matching where you're trying to notice trends and then figure out how to apply that in the future, just haven't worked for that many workflows because they're lacking the common sense element. You're looking at it and you're like, look, yeah, Anyone could just look at this and say, this is wrong. And I think that's where the big improvement in machine learning models has been in the last 24 months. There's a famous, or I mean not famous, but there's a now widely known evaluation set, which is a sort of a means of evaluating the performance of machine learning models called Big Bench. And what Big Bench is essentially a collection of, I think it might be 150, 200 tasks. And if you look at the task, you say, hey, these are relatively simple. It's like, you know, you have a list of words that are jumbled up and you need to, you know, unscramble them so that they make sense in order, or you have to read a couple sentences and pick out the key, you know, part of the phrase, and then apply it to something else. And if you look at performance of machine learning models on this set of Big Bench tasks, it really was nowhere just a couple years ago. And in the last 24 months, it's dramatically improved. And I think you can think about the Big Bench as sort of like the common sense SAT for machine learning models. It's a test of how much common sense they actually have. And I think that's where the big improvement has been. And that's why it's now possible to automate a lot of these workflows. But that's also what makes it a lot easier to work with a tool like Basis or to work with other models is they have that aspect of common sense. So to answer your question in sum, I think a lot of what it takes is to sort of build up just an intuition of what it's like to work with Basis. And then I think the key understanding that accountants need to have is what's changed. You know, how is this different than what I've engaged with in prior versions of, you know, RPA or automation processes, machine learning in various incarnations. And to me, it's the aspect of common sense.
Now, can you give us an idea from, again, even not necessarily the specific price, right? Because again, it's very custom, right, by the sounds of things as to what is really needed. But what is the model that you'll be working on when you release this to firms? Is it going to be like a SaaS-based model, right, where you get in a specific amount of time or involvement with your team of AI, right, and then it's a set price per month? Or is it going to be very custom? Bring us in, let us assess the process, right, and then let us put together a proposal for you, like, just from an expectation perspective as well for some of these sort of mid and larger firms, like, what is that investment look like as well to some extent, or what could it look like? We'll say, I won't hold you to it again.
Yeah, our goal is to, from a pricing perspective, is to align the value we deliver with the price that we charge. So, you know, we do use a SaaS model, and you know, we think about it in terms of how many workflows are we taking on per client of yours per month? And can we align it so that the more workflows Basis takes on, the more and the more value it provides, you know, pricing scales accordingly. And I think the benefit of that to end customers is, you know, firstly, computers are quite cost effective when it comes to taking on relatively complicated workflows. So that's obviously there's an efficiency there, but also it gives you a predictability to build your business around. You know that you're going to have X, Y, and Z workflows done for a certain cost, and that's probably going to be relatively sustainable, relatively scalable. So I think it's a nice way to get, you know, that folks who are growing their business quickly and, you know, have, you know, recognizing the fact that there's an accounting shortage and are able to scale. But it also means that the investment that firms are making is directly tied to receiving a benefit. They're not, you know, spending a whole bunch of money and building out infrastructure without a clear sense of what the workflows will be or without some kind of guarantee that they're going to get something out of it. And so that's sort of the model we've used to align incentives. And I think that it works quite well. And from a time perspective, you know, we've focused to date on having a smaller number of relationships, but a smaller number of high quality relationships is how I would think about it. So we do spend a lot of time with senior leadership and with the entirety of some of these accounting firms, you know, with various individuals in the firms, thinking about long-term strategy and making sure things are working properly and being there to educate and to help and to learn. And so that's been the model that we've adopted so far. I think, as I mentioned to you, you know, over time, we're planning to move towards more of a self-serve model where folks can use Basis, you know, off the shelf, and Basis will still learn to your specific firm and to your specific client's instance in a more automated fashion. But to date, that's been the nature of the relationships, and I think it aligns things in a way that works out well for everyone included.
Now, do you have any official release as we sort of start to wrap up? Like, do you have an official release date, let's say, from the more custom relationship side of things initially, and then maybe even a target date roughly from that larger scale automation on the with the smaller firms and mid-sized firms where they can pull it off the shelf essentially, right? Do you have anything in plan right now that you're able to share, or any somewhat teasers as well that you're able to throw out to the audience?
We're continuing to partner with firms. So, you know, we added, I think, a healthy number of large firms in the last couple of months. And so very open to building new relationships with folks in that kind of capacity. We have a wait list on our website for small and medium firms, and we're excited to support, you know, a full spectrum of accounting firms. And we're slowly starting to offer access to, again, a small group, but firms there. So I think for firms who are interested, that would be a way that you know we can prioritize you. And then we are planning to have the sort of broader self-serve release at some point in 2024. I think we haven't set a date yet, but that's something on the horizon, and will almost certainly happen some point in this calendar year.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, again, it's something that's on the near horizon as well. It's not something that, again, you look to create an off-the-shelf product essentially by 2026. This is something in the immediate future that really you expect to get on the shelf, right, by the end of the year as your target plan. Yeah,
undoubtedly.
Cool. So no, really appreciate it, Matt. And again, it's one of those things that I believe, and again, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure you're open to the conversations, right? Having conversations with firms as well to see where those opportunities lie. Again, you're working, the first step is sort of sign up on your page, right, into the wait list if you're interested. But then also you're happy to share some case studies, right, that you've got as well directly if firms want to reach out for those. Is that correct?
Yeah, happy to share. And yeah, love having conversations. I'd say there are 3 million, I believe, accountants and sort of adjacent corporate finance professionals in the US who touch accounting in various ways. There's so many different workflows, and we've learned a ton from having conversations. So always love chatting with folks and understanding what they're seeing, how they're thinking about things, what they're most interested in, and then discussing if basis can be of help. So yeah, welcome any conversations.
Perfect. No, I appreciate Matt for joining. And again, it's one of those areas. It's fun. It's developing so quickly, right? I mean, and again, the most notable that I would say accountants now are understanding more, and we see a lot more, is even just the functionality of ChatGPT, right? What it can do, what it can't do. But at the end of the day, it's you need people to come in and really help the firm make use of these different pieces of technology, right? The implementation is a difficult part when it's not just a software, right? And there's so many functions that we can improve and workflows we can improve inside of, especially the accounting industry. Again, you can't expect the accountants or the leaders in the firms to do that. Because again, I mean, you need people outside of the profession to do that with the experience in AI, with the experience in machine learning, right? So bringing that type of talent here is very helpful. So again, I know I'm sure we'll see basis more and more at events. I know we met personally at the Digital CPA Conference, but I'm sure we'll see you at different events throughout the year as well. Is there any, where can people find you, Matt, just that they can go to it, your website or LinkedIn? What's the best to reach you at?
Yeah, happy to connect on any of the above. Our website is getbasis.ai. My email is matt@ofbasis.com. So yeah. So happy to connect that way. Also, I'm on LinkedIn. So yeah, welcome connections on any of those mediums.
Cool. So thanks, Matt. Thanks everybody for listening. And again, we look forward to the next episode of Business Beyond Borders.
Thank you for tuning in to Business Beyond Borders. I'm Lawrence Whittam, and it's been a pleasure bringing you impactful insights tailored for the modern CPA firm. Remember, the world of accounting is vast and ever-evolving, and we're here to navigate it together. For more resources and episodes, don't forget to subscribe and reach out to our experts. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of your business and explore the limitless possibilities beyond borders.